Now, for our message today, we are, of course, continuing on through our journey of the book of Revelation. Let me finish situating myself here before we get started. And we have made our way to chapter 8. So if you want to follow along this morning, we're going to start there in Revelation chapter 8. And just, again, as a reminder, we have been working our way through the opening of this scroll that we read about a few chapters ago, the scroll that represents God's final plans for the earth. And Jesus has been opening the seals, the seven seals on this scroll. In Revelation 8, he opens the last seal. So we're going to read verses 1 through 5 and get things started here today. So Revelation 8:1 says, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth, and there became peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake." And we're going to stop right there. There's a few things to consider. Do we have some music playing? Oh, sorry. We'll just keep going. All right. So we have reached the point where the scroll has finally been opened. The time for God's final judgment to the earth has come. And there's a couple things in this passage, this first five verses that stand out that I want to highlight today. First of all, we have this moment right when the scroll is opened where there's this silence, just this pause for a moment as everybody just stops and reflects. All throughout heaven, 30 minutes of silence. This is a reflection on the gravity of what is about to happen. Now remember, God desires that none should perish, but by this time in history, a time in our future, God will have given us, all of humankind, every possible opportunity to repent of our sin, to admit that of our selfish nature, to turn away from that, to ask him for forgiveness and to seek for him, to live for his will, and yet many will still reject him. The sinfulness of mankind will have brought this world to the point where there is such division, hatred, brokenness, and violence that the Lord will say, "Enough. The time has come." The time that he has preordained already in order to accomplish his perfect will. When I think about this, I imagine a parent who has a child who continues to make destructive and harmful choices despite multiple attempts to reach them, to teach them new ways of handling life, to redirect them, to give them every possible chance to change. But then that point comes where the parent needs to step in and intervene to prevent them from doing worse harm to themselves and to others, to set things right. It's not what the parent wants to do, but they need to. The time has come where they need to step in. That's what this moment in heaven is like when the scroll is finally open. And this moment of silence is a moment to just pause and reflect on the heaviness, on the weight of what is about to happen, to set things right, to bring this world where God has poured out so much grace into, to bring justice, to keep the chaos of sin from going any further and causing any more harm to God's creation, to end the persecution and suffering, and to ultimately eliminate sin from the world. So after this moment of silence, seven angels are handed seven trumpets, and we'll read about those trumpets in the passages that we read next week. But before they sound those trumpets, this important step takes place. Another angel comes to the altar with a golden censer, or an incense burner. He fills it with incense along with the prayers of the saints, it says. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands, when the Bible talks about saints, they're not talking about certain holier-than-everyone-else individuals that have been named a saint. They're talking about all of us, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Followers of Christ are referred to as the saints throughout the Bible. So our prayers are combined with this incense and offered up to the Lord. This is an idea echoed in Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2, where it says, O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And I think this reveals something really valuable about our prayers. As Christians, we understand that there's a spiritual aspect of life, and in a spiritual way, our prayers are taken up and presented as an offering to the Lord. And as we can see here, those prayers are being offered to God in preparation for the final judgment. Those prayers have some impact or some involvement in what is about to occur. And you have to wonder how much of what we pray today is being saved up for that moment when the scroll is finally opened. Prayer is really an amazing opportunity that God gives us. The Almighty God and Creator, who is the authority over all things, who already has a plan and purpose for our lives and for this world that we live in, gives us a direct line of communication with Him. And not only does God call on us to give Him thanks and praise and worship through prayer, He invites us to petition Him, to ask Him for things. And in doing so, He gives us a measure of influence over His own actions. Now, of course, because He is the ultimate authority, His will be accomplished. He's not going to change His mind on important things just because we asked Him to. His plans will be accomplished no matter what. But there will be things that we'll ask He simply won't do. But as long as our requests are aligned with His overall will, the Bible tells us that God responds to our requests. Just listen to these words of Jesus regarding prayer. First of all, Mark chapter 11. Verses 22 through 25. Mark 11, 22 to 25. It says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. There's great power that God places within us when we ask for prayers. Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Know that God will do what you have asked him to do. And then also just take a look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. There's something very powerful about prayer, that God gives us the opportunity to ask him to do things on our behalf. And there's this promise repeated throughout Scripture that we know when we ask according to God's will, he will do those things. And I urge everyone to grow and mature in your prayer life. And I'd love to talk to you more about what that might look like if you have questions, because this is a very important part of our life in Christ. Today, in light of what we've read in Revelation 8, I'd like to take some time to consider prayer as an offering to God. And how might that affect the way we think about our prayers? So the first thing that comes to mind when I think about this is that the power of prayer is not within our words and our thoughts. And this comes up a lot when I hear people asking for prayer today. Someone who's asked for prayer often will say that they can feel the effect of people's prayers, or that those prayers have given them a positive outcome. Or even more than that, people will say they'll ask for good thoughts and good feelings and good vibes and good prayers to be sent their way, as though those things themselves have power over their lives. Clearly, it is not within us to have that kind of effect on someone else's life, just through our thoughts and our words. And honestly, only God has enough knowledge about each person's life and how their life fits into his overall plans and for the universe and how to best lead that person and best provide the best outcome for that person. Can you imagine just trying to sort all that out for yourself? I mean, I can't figure that out for my own life, much less someone else's. So how can my thoughts be the right thoughts to impact that person's life? No, prayer is not about our words. And because of this, I've learned when I pray for someone to be clear that I am saying, I am asking God to do something for them because he is the one with the power to act. If we see our prayers as an offering to the Lord, we can be reminded that we are simply laying our concerns down before him and asking him to give us consideration to do what he knows is best for the situation. And that can truly transform the way you pray. Instead of just asking God to do something for you, which certainly we should do, God says, Jesus just said, present your requests to God and know that God hears them. Ask him for what you want. But also acknowledge that you know God's will is greater than yours. God's knowledge of the situation is better than yours. And you trust that he will do what's best, no matter what it is that you want. Remember, we're offering up our prayers to God. We're giving them to him for him to act on. Jesus taught this in what we now call the Lord's Prayer, when he said to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we ask God to do act on our behalf, we're asking him to do what he knows is best. And that's the kind of perspective we can maintain when we remember our prayers are an offering to God for him to decide on how to respond to. Now, another point that comes up when I think about prayer as an offering is that there is value in the accumulation of prayer. So the image presented in Revelation is that the prayers of God's people have been gathered up from around the world, from across history, and presented to God in this moment as a cumulative offering. And first of all, I think this sheds some new light on the value of persistent prayer. In Luke 11, after teaching that Lord's Prayer, Jesus says this. Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. Verse 5, he says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him in the middle of the night and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, my children are with me in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now the point that Jesus is making here is to be persistent in what you ask. Don't hold back. He's saying the man who goes and asks his neighbor for bread in the middle of the night will get the bread, not because his friend is such a good friend, but because he actually went and knocked on the door in the middle of the night and woke the guy up and asked for bread, the guy's going to get out of bed. And kept knocking, kept asking, look, I need bread, right? He's talking about the persistence that he showed, the boldness that he showed, the went to ask. Now, the Lord is not like the friend who was in bed who first complained about the asking. The Lord wants to bless us, wants to give to us. And so when we ask, and we continue to ask, we can be confident that he hears the value of those prayers. We don't have to goad him into responding. Jesus is saying, just go ahead and ask. Don't hold anything back. Keep on asking. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Why hold back asking the Lord for anything when he gives you that kind of invitation? It's not that you're bothering him. He's God. He can handle any request. And it's certainly not in God's character to ignore you or say, what are you asking me that for? Remember what it says in 1 John. We have this confidence that we can ask anything of him according to his will. Which means that if we just ask humbly, in alignment with God's word, you can be confident that God is hearing your requests. And as you continue to offer up those prayers, they accumulate into a greater and greater offering that goes up before Him, a greater expression of worship, a greater expression of value and importance of those requests. Without demanding anything from God, you're simply laying this need before Him over and over and letting it accumulate in an offering before Him. So pray continually with all kinds of prayers. Now, this accumulation of prayers also shows the value in having multiple people praying for the same thing. We know that God is all-knowing. And sometimes I think we have the idea that, okay, I have a prayer request. I don't need to tell anyone else. I can just give it to God myself. And God knows He'll take care of it, which is true. God does know. And He understands the desires of your heart, even when you don't have the words. But He also invites us to share as many requests with Him as we possibly can. When we invite others to pray with us or for us, or when we participate in prayer gatherings, when we join in with other Christians around the world, we are joining together in an increasing offering that goes up before the Lord. Just imagine what a wonderful offering of worship that is to have multiple people praying the same thing and presenting that to the Lord. If we can have that image of what the multitude of prayers looks like, maybe we'd be encouraged to share our prayers more, to join in together with one another. I know a lot of people over the years who have been uncomfortable with the idea of praying aloud or praying in a group, and I've been among them. I was there once. But it didn't take long to overcome that when I realized how important prayer was and just committed to trying it, just being around people praying. It doesn't take long to just start joining in and feeling like you're part of that and adding to that offering that we give to the Lord. So I just encourage everyone, if you haven't prayed with somebody, had anyone pray for you, if you haven't joined in a prayer gathering, take a step and do it. We offer those opportunities here. Because it's important that we offer those prayers up, and there's something valuable about a multitude of prayers going up before the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that we are truly blessed here at True Passion for Prayer built into our body. We have some real prayer warriors in our group who would love the opportunity to make an offering of prayer to the Lord with you at any chance that we can get. We invite you to pray every Sunday. If you have prayer needs, if you have anything on your heart, come and pray afterward. Becky Ruddy is our prayer coordinator for the church, which means she's available to help develop prayer opportunities, to pray with people, to gather people, to pray around them. She has a true gift and passion for prayer. If you find her after worship, or if you can't find her, find me or Wendy or Sarah or Stacy, some of the people that you see, and we can gather people together to pray with you and make an offering up to the Lord. We use this prayer app that has a prayer feed that you can follow. You can join us in having the whole church praying together over those requests. If you need information about that, we can let you know. Our Sunday evening prayer gathering is about all of us gathering together to make that offering to the Lord. We could all pray individually for our own things, right? The things that come to our heart, but there's something valuable about coming together and joining multiple people together in the same prayers. A harmony of prayers, yes. Just think about what an amazing offering of worship that is to the Lord. It's not just us having this communication and you know, logically sharing our requests. It is an offering that we put up to the Lord. So let's find those ways to multiply the offerings of prayers that we give to God. And then there's one final perspective on prayer as an offering to consider today, which gets back to Revelation more directly. When we offer up our prayers to God, we know that He hears and considers every prayer, and we leave the answering up to Him in His way and in His time. And I know that many of us here can testify to the fact that God answers prayer in amazing ways. We've presented our request to Him, we've given it over to Him, and He has answered in ways we never expected. But then there are those times when it's not so apparent that God is responding. There can be lots of different reasons for that, depending on what the circumstances are and what you're asking for. But the seeming silence of God can be difficult at times, especially when you're offering up prayers on behalf of people who have suffered at the hands of others. The sinfulness of man leads people to do terrible things to innocent people. This is especially hard when it happens to children. We offer up prayers for those innocent children to be protected, and we see terrible things happen. It happens every day in our country. Hundreds of thousands of unborn children are killed in America every year. The statistics I read recently is 600-some thousand children every year are never born. That's not because of medical necessity. It's because of cheap people choosing not to have them. And it's estimated that somewhere between 15,000 and 50,000 young women and girls are taken into slavery and exploited in America every year. And those are just two examples of the extreme sinfulness of man. Just the evil things that happen in our own nation during our lifetime. These things can damage a person emotionally and spiritually for their entire lives. And there's so many other things that happen. We offer up prayers to God because our hearts break for these helpless people, asking Him to prevent these circumstances or to save them. We cry out to God to do something because so often we feel helpless. There certainly are times when God does rescue those victims. He changes the lives of both the victims and the perpetrators to make things better. There are ways we're not even aware of that God is breaking down some of those sinful strongholds in our world. And we give Him thanks for that. But we also know that not everyone is saved. At least not in this life. And there is a perspective we do need to keep in mind. The Bible teaches there is life beyond this world. And those lives, lives that are lost to sin may very well be enjoying eternity with the Father today. They're in a better place than remaining on this world. But the difficult truth to bear sometimes is that the sin underlying these horrible activities won't be gone until every knee bows to Jesus. And so it may seem that those prayers go unanswered. But what we've been shown in Revelation is that those prayers are offered up to God on the day that Jesus opens the scroll. The day God's final judgment begins, that's when the answer will come in His perfect timing. So those prayers are not in vain. They're being collected. They're being gathered up for that moment. One of the major points of the book of Revelation is that God is not aware of the suffering of people in this world at the hands of evil and injustice. He knows the answer will come one day. We can be confident that those prayers have value, and we should continue to offer them up as much as we can. They are being gathered together along with prayers of countless people all around the world and all throughout history, crying out to God for His mercy, justice, and peace to reign on this earth. And one day He will come. The day is already known by the Father when those prayers will be answered. He hears us. He knows the need, and He will take care of it in His timing. So let's continue to offer up those prayers of all kinds to our Father. We know that He hears Him, and we know that He answers in His time and in His will. When we ask according to His will, He doesn't say no. He says yes, but in His way and in His time. And it's important, I think it's freeing to know that sometimes the answer is going to be years down the road. We may not even be here anymore, but they will be answered and offered up to the Lord. Let's give thanks that we have a God that hears our prayers and values them, and then praise Him as we finish our worship today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for who You are, for Your care and concern for all of us, Lord, for Your care for this whole world. We love You for Your grace that You continue to pour into us, to others around us, Lord. And we know You know when the time must come for Your justice to come. We offer up our prayers to You daily, Lord, We make this worship offering to you. Help us, Lord, to continue to deepen our prayers and continue to offer those sacrifices to you daily. Bless us as we continue to seek to do your will and work in this world, Lord. In Jesus' name.